Hello and welcome to Boring Conversations. I'm your host, Valerie King, multimedia editor with The Driller. Today, I am joined by Mark Ziegenfuss. Thanks for being here, Mark.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Mark is with Ziegenfuss Drilling Inc. in Ringgoes, New Jersey. The family-owned business goes back into the 30s and includes four generations. They specialize in caissons and pilings for bridges, piers, and buildings, and they also do tiebacks, mini piles, shoring, surface casing for oil and gas wells and industrial water wells. Ziegenfuss Drilling serves clients around the globe. So, Mark, I understand you have more than 50 years of drilling industry experience. So can you outline your drilling career, really from what led you down this path in the beginning to where you are today?
Well, pretty much it's been in the family for, like you said, four generations. My grandfather made a drill rig for me when I was 10. So that's where it started, and it just kept right on going through different versions of different type drills and everything. It was kind of like a, shall we say, a 10-year-old version size. It was, you know, reduced size from obviously a regular drill, but it was something that it was pretty neat. It was an old style cable tool drill, and he made it. It was probably 1/8 scale. So I started playing with that.
That's really cool. So to give our listeners a better sense of what you guys do, what sorts of projects do you take on today typically, and what kinds of clients?
Well, we pretty much started out, my grandfather started out with the actually drilling household water wells for your regular, not commercial stuff, just regular home water wells. And then my father, when he took it over, we started, got away from the water well a little bit, household water well, and went into drilling holes for hydraulic elevators. And which are for commercial buildings, regular passenger elevator that's in a building, say 5 or 6 stories. And we did that for quite a few years. And after we were looking for a drill that would do everything, no matter where we took it to, which is kind of difficult because years ago, there was a cable tool drill that would drill unconsolidated formations. And then you had rotary drills that would drill rock. So back about the early, say in the 1990, we found this drill that was called the barber drill. And the barber drill was able to drill rock, case, and drill and do everything at the same time. And for us, it worked well because we would go a long distance to just drill 1 or 2 holes. And sometimes the cable tool wouldn't do it. Sometimes the rotary wouldn't do it. Now this drill would do everything. So we got started in that and we used that for elevator holes for quite a few years. And at that point, we wound up getting calls from people in New York to do foundation work because we were able to case and they were having trouble in certain formations and not being able to get down with a regular auger. So when that door opened up, we started doing the foundation work. And then we also got some calls to do work in different places with for mines, like up in Canada. We worked in Canada. We did some difficult water wells down in South America. We went to Hawaii, did some wells. Those rigs opened up quite a good door for us. And that's kind of where we are today. We use them for foundation work. We use them for mine work, drilling into tunnels that they're putting tunnels under cities and stuff with. We did a lot of pilot hole work down 600 feet in New York City for the water tunnel, which those holes had to go 600 feet and be within 20 inches vertical, which is pretty tough to do. 20 inches is not much to go out in 600 feet. And the barber drill just kind of opened up a door for us to where people came to us. We didn't really go looking for it. And that's kind of where we are today.
Thank you. It really is intriguing how varied and diversified your experience is, just considering, you know, normally you don't, it's not every day you find a water well contractor who also does foundations. Oh, and by the way, mining, and not just in the US or in a certain region. So thanks for sharing that. So Mark, how big is your staff overall and your team that is dedicated specifically to drilling?
Well, through the years, we got real busy back in 2010, where we got up to like 48, 49 employees. That was when we were doing foundation work in New York and we were doing oil and gas conductor holes out in Pennsylvania and Ohio. So that's when we had the most people. But right now we're probably around 22, 25 employees.
And Ziggenfuss is a woman-owned company today with Kelly Ziggenfuss as president and owner. Can you share more about your relation to Kelly and her path to the drilling industry and her role in the company today?
Well, Kelly's my daughter and I need to put the company somewhere. So she decided she wanted to take a shot at running it and that's what she's doing.
Very good. So does that make Kelly the fourth generation?
Yes.
Very good. As for your drilling fleet, what kind of state-of-the-art equipment do you leverage today?
Well, pretty much we have the DRs. We call them a barber drill. They're DR24s is what we have. And the other thing for the foundation equipment, we've gone down to Casa Grande C8 drills. So they're a small track-mounted drill to go in and do jobs for mini piles. So we have a combination of both that we work.
Okay. And more into that work, I read that challenging conditions are not unusual encounters for your crews. So what are some examples, one or a few, of particularly challenging sites you've drilled in over the years?
Well, the one that sticks out the most would be the World Trade Center when it went down. We were the first ones to have drills there and asked to go there. So that's one that sticks out. Another one would be there was a mine up in Canada, a gold mine, that they called and asked us to come up because they were having problems. And we got up there to drill one hole and they kept us there for 6 months. So that's another one that sticks out as a memorable job.
Yeah, those definitely sound like big deal projects, not kind that drillers land every day. The World Trade Center project, what kind of work were you guys doing there out of curiosity?
Well, when the Trade Center went down, obviously everything fell into the basement. And what they were worried about was since all of the tiebacks that held the walls together, which are on the outside, they hold them in, they cut them when they put the structural steel in the building. So with all the steel falling down, what we were hired to do was go up and drill on the outside of the foundation, which kind of had a bunch of rubble and backfill in it. And they were going to dewater because they were afraid that possibly the Hudson water would come into the basement once they pulled everything out. Because the basement with the steel down there was 2,200 degrees still when we got up there, which is like molten, you know, melting steel. And they were afraid it was going to take away the integrity of the walls. The water would come in from the Hudson and flood the subway system all the way up to 52nd Street, which is quite a ways. So we came in to put the holes in for them to take that pressure off the wall.
Wow. Yeah, I would definitely consider that a memorable project. Are there any other most memorable projects? I know I came in with the angle of most challenging. Would that be your most memorable project, or are there any others that come to mind?
Well, the water tunnel job. We did all the pilot holes for the water tunnel in New York, which I mentioned before. With the alignment that they needed, that was pretty tough tolerances to hold to.
Wow.
And after doing that, we wound up with a bunch of them. We're out in Indianapolis now doing the same thing, drilling down into the tunnels that they're building underground. We did have a project for Con Edison, which was kind of unique. I got a phone call on Wednesday that said, there's a job that's bid tomorrow and you have to be there Saturday morning of Memorial Day weekend. And I'm there, okay. We bid the job and we didn't hear anything. And then Friday morning, I got a phone call from Con Ed at 6 o'clock in the morning. And what this was about was Con Ed's generators, two of their generators, I believe, blew up on them. And they were getting brownouts in New York City. So they had to get their portable generators in because they couldn't fix these generators for like 3 or 4 months. And this was right before Memorial Day weekend. And they wanted us there Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. They'd given us like a day. And so I get a phone call at 6 o'clock in the morning. We'd like you to come up and talk about a job. I said, well, all right, but you got to make up your mind what you're going to do, because I went up there on Friday at 2 o'clock. They still haven't decided what they were going to do. So what was happening was they could not get their barges in with their temporary generators because their docks were falling apart. So they had to do drilling to restabilize the docks. So they gave us a job. We were out there Saturday morning. We worked 10 days there, 24 hours a day to get this done for them. And it was quite a job. We were supposed to be there for 2 or 3 days, but then they had a whole bunch of obstructions and to get through. And so we wound up there more than 3 days. We were there for 10 days for 24 hours a day. And Con Edison, when we left the job, the guy said to me, the vice president of Con Ed said, here's your payment for the job. We thank you because everybody told us this could not be done. And Con Ed does jobs that can't be done. Thank
you. Wow. That's awesome. That is a great, great story. So I have to ask, this picture behind you, I see a rig. Is that a job you've done? What's the story?
Well, the story on that job back there was that was Northern Boulevard in Long Island City. And there was a subway right below there. And they were going to build another subway right under it. So they needed a way to support Northern Boulevard. They needed a way to support the old subway underneath there. And they needed a way to have shoring on the side to build a new subway below it. And the drilling conditions there were basically terrible. There were boulders there that were like the size of pickup trucks. And they designed that shoring system with the use of our rigs. And we were able to cut through boulders that were, take 24 inch casing through boulders that were the size of pickup trucks and cut right through them for them. And they, when we did that job, the superintendent at the end of the job came up to me and said, thank you. He said, it's the only way we could ever done this because we tried other ways and it didn't work at all.
Wow. So now I'm going to ask, there was a plane I could see behind you too. Is there anything to that, or is that more of just an ornamental piece in your office?
No, that's more than an ornamental. That's my airplane that I use to get around to the different jobs and move men and parts around with. It's part of the company's, shall we say, it's one of their best tools the company has.
Wow, it's not every day that we hear drilling contractors who have a plane. Now, do you have like a pilot license or?
I have, I'm actually an airline transport rated pilot. Wow. So I've got all the ratings that you can get pretty much. And I've been flying since I was 20 years old.
That's amazing. And it sounded like you said that plane definitely, and that pilot experience comes in handy considering all the travel you guys doing, not just in the US, but sometimes outside of the country.
Correct. It comes in very handy. In other words, you save a lot of time instead of driving to all the places that you have to go. It just saves me a lot of time.
And over the decades you spent in the drilling industry, I'm curious, backing it up a bit away from the projects, just how have things changed from your perspective? How does it compare today to when you were just getting started?
The things have changed to the point where the paperwork is much more difficult. The contracts are much more difficult. The drilling, pretty much with the drills that we have, that hasn't changed through the years. It's just the nonsense with all of the paperwork, insurance, and everything, that just keeps getting harder every day.
Yes, I've definitely heard that before. So following up on that, I'm curious what key lessons you have learned about drilling itself and or the business side?
Well, the key lessons for drilling would be you just have to go after the problem and keep working at it. And it's a challenge because it's not every day. It's something different. The conditions are different no matter where you go. So you don't get caught in a rut where everything is just like a cookie cutter where you do the same thing every day. That kind of keeps it interesting.
So thinking about the next generation of drillers, what key skills and characteristics do you look for today in drillers and driller helpers that you hire?
Well, what I look for is somebody that actually wants to work and wants to learn. That's your basis for a start, you know?
Yep. And finally, what advice would you give to those looking to advance in drilling and maybe even launch their own business, which is really what you did several years ago?
You're going to put a lot of time and effort into it. That's what's going to happen. It's a tough road. But if you stay with it, the rewards are there.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Mark. To learn more about Zig & Fuss Drilling, visit zigandfussdrilling.com. And you can reach Mark at mark@zigandfussdrilling.com. For more drilling industry insights, visit our website, thedriller.com. You'll also find additional episodes of the show there or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Boring Conversations and hit follow. And if you haven't yet, please give us a quick review and rating. Until next time, this has been Boring Conversations. Thank you for listening.